go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 54 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. This might be take number 10 for me. I've been trying to do an opening that flows off the tongue, that will sound like classical music going into your ear canals to that fluffy, mushy brain of yours. I keep flubbing it, though. So let me just open with this. I highly suggest, if you have any daughters, send them to their bedroom and have them lock the door and put on some noise-canceling headphones, because this is Verbal Graffiti. And for the next 20 to 30 minutes, we might be touching on some NC-17 topics. This episode's actually pretty tame, so you might be able to actually listen to this one with the family. Moving on, I'm very proud of myself. The B-Man, yesterday, I did my civil duty. I got summoned, as they call it, to jury duty, and I went because I'm a little bitch, and when I'm called upon, I arrive early. Got to the New Haven courthouse, 8 a.m., was out by noon. I did not get selected, thankfully. I'm a weirdo in that I do not have much success in life, as you all know, with money and career. But those life experiences that most people dread going to, experiencing, I have a wonderful time with, whether it be getting your wisdom teeth taken out or, in this case, jury duty. This is my second time getting summoned to the courthouse in New Haven, second time not getting selected. Both times was a hot summer afternoon, so I got out by noon and had a free PTO day and that my company has to pay me for. So sometimes being in white-collar corporate America, entry level, still paid by the hour, not salary, is to my advantage. So I'm thankful for all of that. Jury duty, it's interesting because you're surrounded by a bunch of residents of your area. So for me, that's New Haven County. So it's a snapshot. And there might have been, I don't know, maybe 100 of us there, give or take 20 in either direction. And I was eyeing everybody. And I'll say, the people of Connecticut, we're a sad sack of people. We're very ugly, grotesque, gremlin-looking. We look like slugs, yo-yos, very unattractive, very so unattractive that the lady next to me, just in the waiting area, she wasn't attractive, but I was there long enough where by the end, like in my mind, I had said, yeah, I'd have sex with her if she propositioned me right now. She was probably a chubby 5'3", black, wearing a sweatsuit, top heavy, but very thick thighs. I think she was wearing ripoff Nikes. I guess that's why guys like fuck other guys in prison, because when you're stuck with only other men, eventually everyone becomes attractive. Because when I first got there, I was eyeing everybody up like the misogynist that I am. Of the 100 people, maybe 6 were fuckable, and that goes both genders. 6 total, like of guys and gals, 6 somewhat attractive people. The rest of us, we were an eyesore. We were a pink eye. We were a herpes on the lip, acne on your forehead. It was an ugly scene. It's very evident when you're there who's successful in life and who is not, or who will not be and who might be in the near future, just by how people utilize those few hours of idleness that we had. The successful people, most of them were dressed business casual. I was making an assumption that all of these people were going to go back to their office after not getting selected, and not like me, who just went home and went swimming and got coffee. But they utilized the time. They were on their laptops. They were taking notes. They were reading books. They were getting ahead in life. And then there was everybody else who were just scrolling through their phone, watching the Food TV network on the one TV that was This was almost like a general population prison setting, like one floor, all of us there. Actually, I think if you had to go to prison, it might be, you know, going to prison might be valuable if you had to be there for a long weekend, just to recalibrate your life, think a little inward, where you're at, where you want to be. And the great thing about jury duty, though, is there was no contraband being thrown about from one bunk to the next. So you could bring stuff in and out. But yeah, it was enjoyable. I had that book that I mentioned last episode. I read 30 pages of that, 10 Days That Changed the World, about the Bolshevik Revolution. I'm working on this new bit I'm going to talk about during comedy. So I worked on that. I did waste a little time scrolling through X, but I did take advantage of the time. And when they told us, hey, get the fuck out, I got the fuck out. I went down the elevator. I took off that little sticker, that little jury sticker, and I went to a coffee house that I've been wanting to try out. I was drinking my coffee. It was a lot of Yale students around because it was downtown New Haven. And I was sipping my coffee, kind of eavesdropping all the conversations. But then the sun came out and the back of my t-shirt got all wet because I perspire a lot. And it just hit me like, oh yeah, none of these young, beautiful Yale people who are going to rule the world are probably part of the Skulls and Bones Society. None of them want to be in my vicinity because I'm just this pale, ugly, skinny, age-looking patient that can't control his sweat. So I just picked up my coffee and my notebook, and I went back to my car and drove home to my mother's place. But yeah, so that was my day, and I'm very happy I went. And yes, now that I served on jury duty, I do believe that I am a better American than all of you. I got called to serve. And the reason why I don't think I got selected, because they know. I really do believe when the judge came in, to give us a little spiel in the beginning, he looked at the B-man and goes, we can't have that guy on a jury. He's too alpha. If we put the B-man on a jury, he's going to want to be the foreman. And that judge is right, because I got a little bit of that. I got a little bit of pixie dust, a little bit of that George Washington gene to me, where I would have taken those juries and I would have led us across the Potomac River. And I guarantee you, whatever the case, innocent. It would have been innocent 99 out of 100 times. I don't care if it was murder or assault. As long as it didn't involve anything with children, I'm getting that guy off and I'm starting a revolution in that courthouse. But no, they were smart. They didn't select me. So I go about my life being a better American than all of you. One more thing I want to mention before we get into the Reddit post I found for this episode. I am finding that doing verbal graffiti, this project, to all of you 7, 10, 12 listening, talking into a camera by myself with no one else in the room, is changing how I do stand-up comedy. Now, I've always done stand-up conversationally. What I mean by that is it's not set up punch. But I do have specific lines within my conversation, like bullet points that I would write down in my notebook that I think is funny, that should get a laugh. So when I talk conversationally, those bullet points, I strategically would place them within the conversation to keep the laughs pretty consistent. And that's worked out well for me once I kind of figured out how to do it all. But I have noticed the last month or so, I'm not relying as much on those bullet points that I write down. What I'm doing is I'm just having these broad topics, kind of like we do here at Verbal Graffiti. And while I do have notes, I'm talking. I'm emphasizing my emotions, and I'm getting laughs that way. Just the ridiculousness of the absurdity of the topics. But there's kind of some truthfulness that I'm sprinkling on top of it all. And that seems to be getting laughs. It's making the experience, it's a new experience for me. Because like I said, with those bullet points that I had in my head that I kind of had pre-planned, I knew where the laughs were going to come, or at least where I want them to come. But with this new style where I'm just kind of flowing. Like I write some things, but I don't have such specific points where I want the laughs to come. So it's almost, I don't know where the laughs are going to come. So when they do come, it seems to be more, I won't say rewarding. It seems to be more organic and I don't even know how to describe it. It just seems to flow better. It's more, it really is more conversational. The laughs, they're not much, might be as much pow pow, but it's more natural. It's coming across as more natural, which all successful comics who have been doing it for over a decade, 15, 20 years, they'll say, yeah, eventually you don't care so much about getting laughs, and it just kind of flows with how you talk. And this project is helping me on stage is what I'm getting at. All right, with that preamble out of the way, yes, let me reiterate one last time, I am a better American than all of you. All right, I found this one on the Preppers subreddit. Line your property border with beehives. Is this a good idea? Hives provide a sustainable food source, and sticking them around the border of your property might deter curious folk wandering onto your land, especially in America, where your bees are a little more aggressive. Well, this guy clearly thinks that no trespassing signs are for pussies. Now, I'll admit, I was unaware that the American bees are more aggressive than the international bees. That's probably because of all the pesticides that the corporations put on all of our food and the seed oils and all the chemicals that infiltrate our land. I don't know. I don't know if that might be propaganda that U.S. bees are more aggressive than others. But hey, I like that. No, this is a terrible idea. This might be, of 54 episodes of Verbal Graffiti, of all the ideas and quarrels we've discussed, this might be the dumbest, the most lollipop idea that we've come across here so far. I'm sure we'll have worse ones than this or more ridiculous ones. But this one is the proverbial candle on top of the birthday cake. This is an awful idea. There are so many easier, less maintenance ways of protecting your property from the minions who are trying to break in and squat on your property. The easiest way is just put up some bushes, maybe some trees, perhaps a fence. Have you ever heard of a fence, buddy? A lot of people do it. A fence is a very good way. If you want to go to Jurassic Park way, you can maybe do an electric fence and have it be 12 feet high. If you want to do a prison, you can do a fence with some of those circle barbed wire around your property. You could put some IEDs around your land, like they did in Iraq War. Maybe you could do what the Hasidic Jews did in New York City. Remember them, where they dug all those tunnels underground? Maybe you dig some tunnels underneath your property. You can go home alone, become a home alone knockoff, and just put a bunch of booby traps in your front and backyard. You can, what else? Oh, you could put quicksand. Remember being a kid? Was anyone else as a kid like paranoid about step? Anytime you went anywhere with sand, I was convinced it was quicksand and I was going to fall to my death. Eternal death. So yeah, get some quicksand. I've never seen quicksand. I'm not even sure if that's a real thing or not. But if it is, it's got to be easier than getting 10,000 bees. So get some quicksand and put that around your house, or maybe a moat. Yeah, put a little moat around your property line. What else can you do? You could buy yourself a sniper, hire a sniper to put on your roof. The Secret Service, apparently, they don't have any snipers. So there are probably some snipers for hire. Pay them, put them on your roof. Or you could just be a real American and get a pistol permit, get your own gun, and, you know, just walk around with it outside your holster every day after work, whatever it is you do. And just let everyone in your neighborhood know, hey, the paranoid prepper, I'm packing. So you best not step on my property or else I'm going to pop one off on your ass. This is the worst idea. You're taking this way too seriously. I almost equate what you're doing to a UFC fighter. What I mean by that is when you first start training MMA, you learn the basics. I don't do MMA, but I watch it, and this is what the MMA people tell me, is that you learn just basic grapple holds, choke holds, arm bars, the very basics, and then you learn all those crazy moves as you go up the belt level, like to the blue, yellow, purple, brown, black, whatever it may be. But when you get to the black belt, what you realize, at least I do when I watch the UFC fights, is the best fighters in the world are doing the most basic moves, whether that be an arm bar, rear naked chokehold. They just do it much more proficiently than all of us chumps. So you're trying to do with your property, like the crazy triple flip, elbow knockout, the impossible choke out. You don't need to do that. Just get a really good fence with some shock value on it and a couple of guns, and that will be enough. That will be enough to keep the homeless, the bums, the hobos from sneaking into your property and stealing your wife and your big screen TV. There's just so many pitfalls to what you want to do. What are you going to do with all that honey? Because if you have a property lined with beehives, you're going to end up with 20 gallons of honey every day. And you need about 3 teaspoons a day if you're the healthiest person. 1 teaspoon in your tea, 1 teaspoon on each piece of toast, and that's it. What the fuck are you going to do with the rest of the honey? That's pitfall number one. Pitfall number two is, you might be keeping out the humans, but you're going to attract bears. And we know, like that meme, and nobody wants to fuck with a bear. You're going to be surrounded by bears. So, you might not have the homeless meth addict in your basement, but you're going to have a black bear gnawing on your wife's cankle because she's probably overweight. I can't imagine somebody putting... Actually, now that I think about it, people who have beehives tend to be on the skinnier side. I have no way of proving this, but you got to imagine, from the sample size I've seen, beehive owners are less obese than normal Americans. And if you have beehives, you are not a normie. There is one more pitfall, is if you have like 5,000 bees surrounding your property, guarding you, it's inevitable you're going to get too comfortable with your pet bees and they're going to sting you. And when you get stung by 500 bees, the EMT ambulance, they're not going to come get you. They're going to see all those bees flying around and be like, buddy, we're waiting for them to die out before we come get you. And you're going to get all swollen like that twatty little child in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, the one who ate the blueberry thing and blew up like that blue, purple, and popped, and they had to throw her in the elevator. And I don't really know what became of her, but she deserved to die because she broke the rules of Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. There's one more thing. This is an awful idea. Used to be prepping, just buy canned goods, buy gallons of water. You're way, your prep, just simple holds. We don't need to be doing some crazy leg lock. Just keep it simple, stupid. I think the best thing you do, the best thing, now that I think about it, if you live in a rural or residential area, is put up Christmas lights and keep them up on your gutters year-round. Because we all know, all of us in the suburbs know, when we drive by a house in June and they still got the Christmas lights up, we know that they don't give a fuck what anybody else thinks about them. And they are people not to be fucked with. And nobody fucks with them because we know anything's possible with those homeowners. So that's what you should do. Get your pistol permit. Keep your Christmas lights up year round, and you won't have to deal with the bums and the hobos like the B-Man. Let's go see some photos. Ooh, just got that queasy. Did I accidentally erase my term paper feeling in my stomach? That, you know, when it just drops and you get real nervous and your back gets all sweaty and it sticks to your shirt and you get the goosebumps on your forearms and then the sweat dries and you get the chills. That's the feeling I just had. Because I was filming the first segment, thought I accidentally erased it on my MacBook. Yes, I do have a MacBook. And I know that Apple overprices all their technology. I am a lollipop, though, when it comes to technology. So I need to pay extra for these user-friendly programs. Turns out, I did not erase it. It was in the trash bag, so I had to find it in the trash, drag it to my external hard drive, and then I put it in Final Cut Pro, and I'll edit it after I record this segment. Thankfully, I was able to recover it. Still do not completely understand what happens when you empty your trash bag on your laptop. In real life, yeah, you throw away the trash, goes to the dump. The dump puts it in the ocean, ruins the environment. That's very clear for me to understand. With technology, when you erase the file, the word or the video file, and it disappears, but where does it go to? Some things I'll never know. I am not Elon Musk, nor I do care about it, but I'm not going to do any research on that. I'm a little frustrated with Simone Biles. Nay, I am very frustrated with Simone Biles. Saw that she got the bronze medal, I believe, on the vault, and she was cheering and all happy. You lost. Gold medals for winners. Everybody else is a loser. And second, third place, those are the worst places because you have to be on the podium, and you have to pretend to smile and be happy as they sing the national anthem of the winner, the person who beat you. But I think Simone Biles, she seemed genuinely happy with the bronze medal. Sorry, Simone. This is America, winners only, especially here at Verbal Graffiti. Not happy with you. I've always had a personal vendetta against Simone Biles. In 2020, she quit, and for some reason, everyone still loved her because it was all about like mental health bullshit. No, you quit in Tokyo. You got bronze in this Olympics in France. So get your act together, get back in the gym, come back LA 2028 and get the gold. And in the B-Man's perspective, there are two medals that matter in gymnastics. Everything else is playtime, does not matter. It's a footnote in the history of athletics. There are two medals. You have the team gold medal and then the all-around single gold medal. That's the one that matters. And in the 2020 Olympics, it was Sunny Lee. Is that how to pronounce her name? She won the all-around gold in Tokyo Olympics. And yet somehow Simone was still a more prominent gymnast publicly after that Olympics. So I've always thought that Sunny Lee is the one who should be getting all the advertisements. And I don't understand why the U.S. doesn't rally around the winner, Sunny Lee, and... and also Simone Biles is a Houston Astros fan, being a Texan. And I, as a Yankee fan, I've always, since 2017, I've had a vendetta against the Astros. So that just compounds my irrational, sports hatred toward Simone Biles, but I will always root for America, the Stars and Stripes, because like I mentioned earlier segment, I am a better American than you. I go to jury duty when I am summoned. I watch the Olympics when they're on. I just these second and third place people who are losers, who are happy. You're a loser on the international stage. Like show some emotion. Like show some anger, some frustration with being a loser. If you don't want to show that, win. Get the gold medal. On to Reddit. This is a post I found on the subreddit for romance books. The B-Man knows something about romance. Romance with dinosaur-like creatures. Welp, here I am again with another weird book request. As the title says, I'm wondering if there are any romance books with dinosaur-like creatures or even sapient dinosaurs. Hand up, I do not know what the word sapient means. Moving along. I know this is an odd request, but I'm hoping at least one person out there has written a book like this. Laughing emoji. I'm looking for books like this that aren't written as satire, but that takes the concept at least somewhat seriously. I'm open to het or queer romance. I'm not into books that have non-con or pregnancy. Thank you. Whew. And I thought I had an odd taste in literature. Yeah, this is a weird one. Oddly enough, there were 29 people who responded to her post. So that makes me believe that there are a lot of romance books involving dinosaur-like creatures. Personally, the B-Man, I cannot help you out with this. I avoid everything anime, cartoon, hentai. When it comes to like romance and especially pornography or getting myself off, that's a slippery slope. I always stay people. I'm on the human side of porn. I do not go to that AI filtered. Anything filtered and beyond is a no trespassing zone for me. I'm putting up my Christmas lights, getting my pistol permit. I'm not going anywhere near that because that's a slippery slope. Because once you start getting off to hentai porn or cartoon porn or some fantasy AI type character, that's a slippery slope. Because once you're able to get off to that, and that's what you get your nut to, the only thing left is kids. And I don't want to go there. I want nothing to do with that. I'm barely legal and over. If you're yanking off the cartoons, somehow, like, that warps your mind where, like, I convince myself that humans will no longer be attracted to real humans once you're waking off to hentai porn. So I don't go, like, I love humans. I want to stay in the real world. So I avoid anything to do with dinosaur-like creatures or hentai or that weird Japanese porn. That Game of Thrones grayscale to me. I'm staying as far away as that as possible. I do not want it touching me at all. So as far as this is concerned, listen, my romantic literature, it's 70s. It's real people, and that's my zone. Amateur literature, that's as kinky as the B-Man goes. So I am no help to you in this regard. If only, I guess the last thing I could say, if only Jurassic Park was a rom-com instead of a action movie, is that? Action horror movie? If only I don't know. What's an animal? Or a dinosaur? A T-Rex? Like two T-Rex fell in love in Jurassic Park 5 or whatever the fuck number they're on now. Spielberg, make something new. Something else I also want to bring up here. Am I going to do this? Am I going to disclose this information about me? Yeah. Yeah, I got it. I got to bring it up. Dinosaurs aren't real. The nerds in lab coats have been lying to us our entire lives. Those Those scientists were bullied as kids, and they're getting back by trying to convince us that dinosaurs were a real thing. I'm sorry. Dinosaurs, there's no fucking way they existed. And let me explain why. A few summers ago, I'm a very cultured person. I went to the Natural History Museum with two of my sisters in New York City. And when you walk in on the first floor, they have a dinosaur display. You know, like the bones of, I'm not sure, whatever dinosaur. And we paid our $15, $20 entry fee. We go, we look at the dinosaurs, all the other history. We're on our way home. My sister Muffy tells me, I don't know how it came up in conversation, but we're on a train, and she tells me, she says, hey, B-Man, you do know that that wasn't a real dinosaur there. And perplexed, I go, well, what do you mean? And she's like, oh, those bones, those aren't real dinosaur bones. None of those are. And I was like, well, what are they then? Oh, it's like a replica of a dinosaur. I'm like, wait. So you're telling me I paid $20 to get into this museum in New York City, one of the biggest cities in the world, to look at a fake bone structure of a dinosaur? And I started doing some research because it started making me think, well, if the biggest museum in New York doesn't have a real dinosaur, who does? And then I started even thinking a little bit more about the history of dinosaurs, and it's all bullshit. It's La La Land. When you were read about dinosaurs in elementary school, that wasn't a textbook. That was a lullaby. Let me tell you why. You expect us to believe. Okay, how long ago did dinosaurs live? So they roamed the earth. If what I remember from that museum, I think dinosaurs roamed the earth for 150 million years, and they became extinct maybe 60-ish million years ago when an asteroid or something hit the earth, and all the dinosaurs went poof, disappeared, extinct. But sea turtles lived? Get the fuck out of here with that. There's no logic to that. Dinosaurs were at the top of the food kingdom, top of the animal kingdom. They were the big dogs. They were the head of the table, and they became extinct when the asteroid hit Earth. But sea turtles survived? How does that make any sense? And I'm sorry. Archaeologists know everything there is to know about dinosaurs. How is that possible? Homo sapiens have been around for 300,000-ish years. We've had language for maybe 10,000 years, and somehow archaeologists can tell you everything there is to know about dinosaurs that existed 60 million years ago, but archaeologists cannot tell you anything about what's going on the bottom of the ocean right now. If that doesn't make you a little suspicious of dinosaurs being real, I don't know what is. Oh, I'll tell you another thing that also gets me going, okay? Okay, archaeologists know everything there is to know about dinosaurs. They can tell you the diet. They can tell you what dinosaurs were vegetarians and which dinosaurs were carnivores hundreds of millions of years ago. But they can't tell you how we made the pyramids. How the fuck does that make any sense? Archaeologists are lying to us. Dinosaurs being real is propaganda, and if you believe it, you're a sucker. It makes no fucking sense. Dinosaurs are a figment of a loser scientist's imagination. If dinosaurs roamed the entire Earth, anytime you dug more than 20 feet, you would find dinosaur bones. It should be everybody who owns property should be able to dig in their backyard and find some dinosaur bones. But no. Dinosaur bones are so rare, so hard to find, that they can't put up a real dinosaur structure in one of the biggest, most popular, prestigious museums in New York City. It makes no fucking sense that we're not tripping over dinosaur bones. It's as big a hoax as the JFK assassination. I'm not going to get into any more conspiracy theories. I'm just telling you, dinosaurs never existed. The Big Bang Theory, yeah, like just there was nothing. It just out of nowhere, something rang a bell, and there's a galaxy with humans and dinosaurs. The fuck out of here. This is the biggest. Dr. Seuss couldn't come up with a story like this. It's so unbelievable. I might have to do a special verbal graffiti dinosaurs never existed series on another YouTube page. Maybe I'll get into that if we ever get more than 20 viewers here at Verbal Graffiti. Yeah, but dinosaurs never existed. If you believe that, go re-educate yourself. To this dinosaur lover, romantic book gal, and to everybody else, go suck a fat one.